Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio, and together partners at Amity Kett.
Today we're going to talk about the emotional impact that design has on our clients and how that kind of plays into the whole process. Residential interior design is definitely very personal for people and close to their hearts, and it can be an emotional ride for folks. I always love to watch that show, Love It or List It, which I think ran for something like 16 seasons, might still be on. It's very compelling. I watch it to relax. And there is a realtor who shows the clients houses to get them out of the space that they're in that are better than the house that they're in, while at the same time and competing is an interior designer who goes in and changes their existing property and tries to make it better to function for the family. And I don't know, to me, that's one of these really very real shows about what it's like as far as the ups and downs. It's a little overdramatic the way a lot of those HGTV shows are, but it really seems to show kind of the ups and downs that come along with that process. And then, of course, at the end, they decide who wins, whether the family stays in the home or goes. So I just think that show really gives a great example of kind of that roller coaster ride that people go on. And the decisions people make about their homes are not always just based on the space. Sometimes it's like the emotional connection to the neighborhood or the memories that they have in the space, et cetera. So,
yeah, and it's not just about the money. Like, they could go get a better deal in a different neighborhood. It's because they want to stay in that neighborhood, in that house. They had memories that they made there, so they just want to stay there and make it better, deal with whatever issues in the house they have that they want to change. Or also, they may buy a lot in the same neighborhood because they just wanted to be in that neighborhood and build a new house. So that happens as well.
Yeah, and almost every client in that show wants to be in their existing neighborhood. It's very rare, and I think that's an interesting aspect of it. People want to be where they have been, and it's what they're familiar with. So that is kind of the calculus that goes into making that decision. And, you know, the other piece of it is that the impact that the design has on them can really trigger a lot of emotions. And I've had clients say that to me. We've come in and all we've done maybe is repaint a living room or rearrange the furniture. And I will get a phone call, a teary phone call saying, "You've changed the way we live. You've changed our lives." So I do think that what's interesting and what Diane and I get to experience in this field is that emotional impact of the design work that we do. I have a client that I've been working with for over 20 years, and we've done 3 houses together, and that connection and that bond is really strong. I'm sure Diane has the same kind of stories, people that come back again and again for that same experience over and over again.
Right, because, again, you know, our focus on this talk is about the emotional connection to your home, and I think that your design team starts to become part of that emotional impact, especially once, you know, we work together and we really get to know you and understand what you value and care about. We continue to build relationships with all of our clients and the connection that happens with designing your home.
Yeah, I think that one thing that people don't always think about is, and we try to tell them early on that there's always going to be some ups and downs in this process. Whether it's a renovation, addition, a new build, it's personal. It's where you're going to be living. There's going to be moments where things go, in quotes, wrong or issues come up. But there's learning in that, the experience of going through that. And I've had clients that say, you know, at some point, you know, they have had a moment where they think, why did I do this? This is hard. And it's important for us to stay with the client all the way through that. And there's sometimes crying, little husband and wife fights. There's some moments where it feels hard. And if you can get through those moments and you've got a good team to work with you and see you through, the emotional connection that we gain with our clients is all the better and all the stronger from getting through those.
Yeah, because then they're really happy when the house is done and they're living in it, and then they kind of forget all the other stuff they had to go through. And again, talking about the design team, you definitely want people that aren't going to get upset and mad. The only people allowed to get upset and mad is the homeowner. So that's one of the things I look at and look for with the builders I work with, is that that's one of my top three, is that they never get upset or yell or have a fit.
So. Yeah, you can't have the contractor acting like a toddler on a project. And I think that is very true. There is a personality type that is a good fit to be a general contractor or builder who does renovations, additions, and new builds for residents. Or that's a different personality than commercial even. And it's real steady emotionally, live and let live, can ride over those bumps. And I think we can spot that early on, right, when we're working with a builder, if
yeah,
they're going to be
definitely
be able to stick with the team. And
mm-hmm.
and then in the end, as the architect and interior designer, we've got the builder on the team, we're only as strong as our weakest link. So we are all really kind of the same person. We are all very much connected.
Right. So in the design process of working with you on your house, we really help support you in kind of changing the existing way you're living to make it even better for you, and also helping support you through what are going to be the transitions through your lives. Like if you have young kids and then they're going to become teenagers, and then suddenly you're going to become empty nesters. So we sometimes try to think ahead in how that design is going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's true, because people come to you wanting to design something for the moment in life that they're living. And then that changes. And I think having the long view and keeping our eye on the ball with that is helpful to them. You know, there's empty nesters want a different thing. But a lot of times it's interesting. People think they're going to want to be in a house for a certain amount of time. And then their kids are going to move away and they are going to want to downsize. And then the kids move away and they don't want to downsize. They've enjoyed being in that space and they want to renovate it to make it work better for their life now. Maybe they've got a hobby they want to take on.
Right. They'll call us back.
They call us back. Yeah. And they say, I actually don't want to downsize, or maybe I do and I need help finding a space, or I just need to make this space work differently for me. And I find that so interesting. I love the way that projects and people's lives evolve, and working with them over the long term, it's an honor to get to be involved in that.
Mm-hmm. And then I think you and I mean, something I do is I always interview on that first meeting with them, what works in your space that you really like and what doesn't work in your space. And then I always like to ask, who's the one that cooks? Do you like to entertain? And sometimes they say, we would love to entertain, but we can't because we can't stand our house, or this kitchen is just too small, or they say, no, we really don't entertain at all, but we really like to cook. So finding, you know, all of those kinds of things about you and then being able to design the house for you in that way is really impactful. And I think, again, part of that emotional connection to your home, because we're really designing it for you.
And I think one thing is true, too, is that clients don't always know when they start out what they want. They think they want one thing, and then they see your designs or your ideas and what they want changes, or they just don't know what the possibilities are.
And that's what I think more of it is that we take all that information we just gathered, and then we come up with this design that helps solve all these problems. Because sometimes some of the clients think that they want to tell you what they want and move this wall here and put this here, but meanwhile we know, well, we could redesign that a whole lot better.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you can't always tell them that at the first meeting. You kind of need to feel them out and figure it out and then pull it together and show them the designs, and then they get wowed and then they're on board.
And oftentimes my first idea when I'm standing in the space isn't the solution. It's usually something else as I keep in the creative process, sketching and drawing.
Yes, that's absolutely true. So that's the other thing, is there's that initial kind of meeting and greeting and seeing the space and thinking, noodling on kind of what's going to work for them based on what they're saying. And then you sit down with the drawings and something different becomes apparent. When you're looking at things in plan, you start to see flow differently and you see opportunities that you didn't see before. And it would be malpractice to not show the client that mm-hmm. that new idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really exciting. And sometimes you show them, you know, I have a client right now that we need to solve for the kitchen. It's just not working. It's too small for the size of the house. And we spent a lot of time doing a secondary space for them. So I got to spend a lot of time in the house and kind of figured out where the kitchen should be and where it should go. And so turns out, actually, when we did the three versions, the kitchen did end up going where, because I had spent some time in the house, did end up getting picked up and moved to the right spot. But all the other areas changed. And I had, you know, no idea I was going to need to move the powder room to the other side of the house to make everything work. And so that's a really fun process. And then there's the moment where you get to show the client that their idea changes. And
yeah, where you say, actually, the kitchen should be where the living room is and your living room should be where the kitchen is. And they're like, what? I never thought of that. Mm-hmm. And then once we do, you see how much better the house works for you. And whether it's got to do with views or connections to the outdoors, and you're not having to walk all the way across the house to carry your groceries or something like that.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting on the interior side, too. That happens where we present, we've got a plan. Maybe, you know, Diane's come to us and here's the plan, here's the layout. Let's start talking about finishes. The same thing happens there. They've shown you their inspiration images and their Pinterest boards, and so you kind of come back to them with some ideas that you've interpreted from those images. And initially, maybe they don't see it the way that you see it. And then they go away and sleep on it and spend some time and come back around to it. Or it triggers a new idea in their heads and the design goes a whole different direction. So I love that collaboration process. That's how I think of it is. They come back in with, okay, what about this challenge or what about this question? And you've either solved for it or you haven't. And you haven't thought of that. And so you do it together. And it just makes the design get better and better and better as you move along.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes they look at your plan and then they have something to respond to as well. And they'll say, oh, great, you solved A, B, and C. But I realize I really need to take care of X, Y, and Z.
So. Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun process. And you talk about the inspiration images, Pinterest boards. Those are really great to have, whether you just show us 5 or 100. Within the 5 to 100, we're going to see what you're wanting. You may not realize it, but you tend to pick the same thing over and over. I had a client who we added on a kitchen, and she was, you know, actually kind of working with me. She didn't have an interior designer, but usually I encourage all my clients to have an interior designer.
That's right, you do.
But she just begged me to just help her, so I just did because I love her. And she showed me all these images of kitchen she liked, and she had the encaustic tile in every single one of them. And so I said, I think you want to have something like this tile. And she goes, oh, my gosh, I love that. I didn't even think of it. I said it was in every single one of your images. So, yeah, you tend to keep picking the same thing.
Yeah, we had a client, too, once who showed us probably 100 Pinterest images. And in almost every one of them, there was a curved sofa. So we proposed a curved sofa to her. And she said, oh, my God, I love that. I never would have thought of that. I said, yes, you did. It's in every single image you showed me. They just don't see it the same way you see it, and your eye goes to a different thing. So it's a great communication device, I think, to have those. Sometimes they just lead us, like Diane's saying, in a different direction than they think the client, what the client thinks that's leading us to.
Yeah, and the same thing happens for me when I'm designing exterior. It's great to have an idea of what style you are wanting for the exterior of your home, whether it's mission or contemporary or modern or ranch, or we have a lot of Texas vernacular hill country in the Austin area. So just having images of showing us things you like really help us when we're designing the process, or saying, I really love lots of natural light, or I love clerestory windows. I want to be able to see the moon. I want, you know, things like that. So then it just all, I'm thinking about all those things, and I tend to put all the images out in front of me as I'm designing.
It's fun to tell people, to be able to tell people early on, this is the part where you get to dream. Imagine you could have all the things. Let's not think about the limitations. Let's think about the options and the positives, and tell me if you could have whatever you wanted, what would you have? Because you may be surprised what you're able to get. And I think that's a really fun process. And, you know, I always tell clients this, right now it's just lines on a page. Mm-hmm. So let's look at it.
It's always easier to change lines on a page.
Absolutely. So I think one other piece of it is, I find, at least on the interior side, trying to help people visualize the interior of their house all at the same time. Just did a presentation for a client where we were showing them a master bathroom, secondary bathroom, the floor for the entire house, some stair images, a mudroom, a kitchen. And it's a lot.
That is a lot.
It's a lot. And it's hard to break it up, too, because one thing does connect to the other and relates to the other. And so it's like sipping from a fire hose. You know, it's hard to do. So we got to find tools and ways of communicating that help the client with that emotional impact of the connection to the materials and visualizing it all at once. And when we try to break it up, sometimes it's difficult because we'll show them something and they say, well, I don't know if I like that because I don't know what the bathroom connected to it's going to look like. But I will say, I tell clients, and I don't know if this is something that Diane says, but for us, it's each decision you make regarding finishes or layout helps us with the next decision because one decision shuts the door on some other directions you might go decoratively, or maybe same thing with layout. Well, if your biggest focus is your mudroom, maybe your pad room has to get a little bit smaller. And I think that limitations like that, I don't really think of them as limitations, but decisions that you make help us make better decisions on your behalf and help you. And then just the experience, you know, of doing a number of many, many jobs a year, we can sometimes predict better in the end how people are going to feel in their homes better than they can because we've done it so much.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, I know with the design schemes you come up with, a lot of times they might ask for some revisions and changes and then they end up circling back to that first one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the sleeping on it thing. Well, I think what happens more than anything is, and it just depends on the personality of the client. That's, you know, something got to figure out. But that initially they think they want it to look just like the picture they showed you, but they don't really understand how the design of their space does not allow for that material-wise. Mm-hmm. And then if you can talk them through it and keep them understanding that you're hearing them and that you have their best interest at heart, they'll typically come back around to it and they'll at least understand why you proposed it. And it was interesting. We were showing a client something the other day and it was super impactful and dramatic. And her face was kind of scrunching up and I was thinking, she's not following, she's not liking it. Well, actually what she was thinking was, I love it. I don't want it hidden away in this secondary bathroom. I want that idea downstairs in my powder room. So you just kind of have to, you know, I always say it's like a dance with clients. Sometimes you have to lead, sometimes you have to follow. It just depends on where you are in the process. And that's kind of what the whole thing becomes. And I also, you know, it's all of these drawings and these images and these materials that we're showing you is just another tool for communication. So right. It's a conversation.
Yeah. And then it helps build confidence with them. So when you're going through the construction process, I feel like we really are cheerleaders for them because it can get hard. I mean, mistakes happen, the wrong window doesn't show up, or when, you know, window is missing or the door gets damaged and it's another 8 weeks to get the other one. And there's lots of challenges that can happen and you kind of start to get worn out because all that fun, exciting stuff of selecting everything, now it's getting implemented and it's all, you know, construction, it's dusty and dirty and muddy and you start to get worn out. So we continue on to be your cheerleaders through all of that. And that's why we check everything, handle reviewing window orders, cabinet drawings, spending a lot of time on all the minuscule details. And we'll ask your opinion. And if you don't want to share it, then we'll just make the best decision we think is good for you.
Yeah, sometimes people want to back out of the process and say, you know what, you got this. Once you build trust with people, that can happen where they say, okay, I get that you know what you're doing and you have my best interest at heart and I'm going to step back from this. And then they know when to step in and what is important to them and they share that with you and they're there for that. And I do think that one thing that's really important to do, and Diane and I are big proponents of this, is when you're developing the team, when you're building, and we've talked about that on other shows, but when you're bringing your design team together, you really want people that can ride that wave with you and work together as a team. And a lot of times when an issue, in quotes, comes up or a question comes up or something comes in wrong or not some challenge comes up, really you want your design team to come to you with the right solution, a solution, maybe many solutions, and just lay out those options for you versus it being a really big, oh no, what are we going to do? You sort of look at it and say, okay, well, this option costs more money. This option takes more time. Maybe it's a switch on a material, or maybe it's a redesign on a space. But coming to your client with solutions as a team just builds confidence and strength in the team versus, oh no, we have a problem and it's his fault. Mm-hmm. That finger pointing thing, right, Diane?
Yeah, no, we don't like that.
Yeah, we make that real clear early on.
Although sometimes the contractor might call the client and say, you know, I have a question and it might be more design related, and the homeowner client will say, no, please call Amity or Diane and ask them that question. I don't want to make that decision.
And so, that's the correct answer, by the way, if you're wondering. Call Amity and Diane is the correct answer.
Yeah.
You know, you can't know everything. You can't, you know, Diane can't know everything. I can't know everything. You definitely can't. Mm-hmm. Builder can't, you know, so sometimes if the client or the builder or the architect or the interior designer doesn't understand where these decisions came from, they happen organically sometimes, it's hard to solve the problem. It's hard to solve the issues that come up without having context, I guess is the way to put that, the context of the decision. Like, this is important because, and I understand that because I had the conversation with you, but the builder doesn't. So they can't just change it in the field because they feel like it, which has happened, but ideally not. The other thing that I think people don't think about that I think is very emotional for people, that when you're watching the HGTV shows or you're seeing people just kind of, you know, doing this really impactful decorating moments or design moments, is just the everyday impact of living in a well-designed space. And, you know, we have clients who have mobility issues and the transitions between rooms become, you know, they have medical conditions. They need an elevator added to their home. There's some kind of reason that they need, this is not just a want, this is a need to modify their home, but they also want it to still be beautiful and thoughtful and to incorporate the whole family. Maybe one person has mobility issues and they don't want to feel like they're a burden to their family. And so you really have to hold people's personal, private, medical, and other information all together at the same time in helping them make decisions. That's where I mentioned context, that you need to understand the context of each decision, and budget's part of that. But when we do that, and we do that well, the devotion from the client and the appreciation and the good warm feelings we get of having helped change the way people live in their homes is huge. You know, just this morning I was on a call with a client that I have been connected to and known for many, many years, 30 years. Now we went to school together, and we're redesigning her kitchen and had to do a little bit of a sales pitch on, if you take this away, this countertop where you like to sit away, this is what you can get in exchange for that. And I kind of talked her through the emotional impact of, this is where your friends will sit when they're in the kitchen with you, and this is the view they're going to see when they look out the window. And so she said, okay, you're bringing me along. I'm getting it. And I said, I really feel strongly that that's going to make you the happiest. And I've heard Diane say that to people too. Like, I really feel strongly that having your sink in this spot is going to make a difference. And it's great when people can trust.
Yeah. Sometimes if it's just a really bad idea, I say, I will not do it. But usually I try to work it in whatever suggestions are.
I've heard her say that. That's true. Way. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You know, we joke about that, like, about if I do this, the thing you're asking me to do to your house, it's malpractice. It is not the right thing. And I just can't do it because it's just the wrong thing. I mean, that doesn't happen very often, but mostly because you can talk them out of it and they start to understand. But that's not you want to always make things better. What is the Hippocratic oath? Yeah. Do no wrong. Mm-hmm. We have the same.
Right.
Make it better.
And then Amity actually continues on with the homeowner once it's built and they've moved in, because you're working on furniture and rugs and all kinds of decorative objects, whereas I'm usually kind of out of the picture by then. So you really keep holding their hand.
Yeah. Yeah. The difference between, I mean, I do think that Diane has long-term clients that come back for different areas and different things and additions and new houses. And what we end up having is, the number of people in the family have changed. We have a lot of clients who are multi-generational living now. And so the needs change for the family. And so sometimes that requires a whole new furniture plan, or sometimes people just don't, it's not in the budget to do the decorating of the whole house at one time. And so we'll phase it. So yeah, we'll be involved with people for many, many years. Like my client that I was talking about, having worked with her for over 20 years now. We did her 11 room house, one room at a time for many years, and then a condo for a life change, a transition, and now back to another kind of four-story townhouse. So many of the things that she has in her house are things I sold her, 20 years ago, and they still work. They've come with her. They still
That's
function.
Awesome.
So it is great. Mm-hmm. It feels, I know her kids from when they were little, and I think it's very satisfying to help people and be involved in their lives in that way. And I don't know that people really realize that that is how personal what we do is. And it's because it's residential.
And I kind of, I think one client referred to me as Sheena, the war princess, because I really will go to bat for you over certain things. We had some clients and they had brought a builder to the table and we hadn't even started building yet. And he was making them cry. And I just said, we can't do this. We can't go through building your new house with someone who makes you cry before we start. So
it's true.
I definitely am always going to have their back.
Yeah. And sometimes you really have to be protectors of the client and make sure that they understand that they're not going to be happy if they go a certain direction. I always love to hear Diane onboarding a new employee who hasn't done residential before. Tell them what you tell them, Diane, about.
Yeah, especially in architecture. It's so different in commercial and residential, working in the two realms. I've done both and I enjoy both, although I do really prefer the residential, I think because of this emotional connection. So a lot of times I tell them, your clients are going to know all about, they're going to want to know about your life. They're going to want to know where you went on vacation. They want to know about your family. They, will be upset for you if your father goes in the hospital. They will hug you. They, it's just such a more personal connection than in the commercial world. I mean, I would make definitely professional relationships with some of my clients, but it was never anything like that. So, yeah, you definitely have to be ready for that.
You're the one in my field. We're going through their drawers, literally, when it's time to bring a new piece of furniture in and switch it out. And, I've got some new bedside tables for you. They're being delivered today. Clear out your other bedside tables or else I'm going to do it when I get there. Or, you're in their closets. It's definitely, I don't know how many times I've been, me, the architect, the client, and the builder are all standing in the shower together looking at the framing, making jokes about what parts are getting washed where and all that. So it's very personal. It's real fun to go on the plumbing and appliance meetings and start figuring out people's quirks.
Yeah, you do. I don't really do that, but yeah, you do that and find out a lot about them.
Yeah. People hate water spots, I've learned, and also get sitting on toilets together, climbing in tubs. So it's definitely so personal and so emotional for people, and it's so satisfying, but you just have to be prepared for it, kind of ride that wave and be someone who can stick with it, and support the client all the way through.
And sometimes we kind of act like a referee between a couple who they're disagreeing and one wants one thing and one wants the other, or maybe one really isn't listening to the other. And so we, not that we become therapists or anything, but we just kind of discern what the other one truly wants and trying to help bridge that.
There are a few husband and wife fights we sit through, but they're usually pretty minor.
So we can talk about when you build a new home and you've picked a site, and usually you've had me go out there to the site with you, and everyone's really excited, and we look at the trees, and we look at the topography, we look at the views, we figure out orientation, which way is north, south, west, east. Do we want to see sunrises, sunsets? Which way is the prevailing breeze? So we want to figure all that out, and everyone's very excited at that time. And then we start coming up with the design, with the site plan and the floor plan. And then we eventually build the house, and we do a 3D computer model, and it's really exciting. And then we get to the, you know, pouring the slab and the foundation. And let me tell you, when you see the slab of your house against the rest of the world, it looks tiny. You walk on there and think, oh my gosh, is this going to be big enough? I don't even think I can fit a sofa in the living room. And so it's, I always have to remind everyone that, well, you're comparing it to the entire rest of the world, and that's why it feels so small, because there's no walls around it giving you scale.
Yeah, there's no context. There's no framing. And it just gets bigger and bigger with each step. Framing it looks a little bigger, and then you put up the sheetrock, and it gets bigger again.
And also, sometimes with clients, we like to put things in the foundation. We might want to put some religious icon statues, or, you know, pennies or quarters, or with the year on it, or crystals or rocks, or so we've done all that as well.
We've gone out to sites with clients and you know, written on the framing,
right? Yes,
right. Love thing and prayers, and a lot of that's a good moment to kind of have the space blessed or cleared, the land cleared, or kind of spend some time setting an intention for the house and the people that live in it. And that's definitely an emotional moment.
Yeah,
I've cried at those.
And I think it feels really good for the homeowners knowing that they have all that inside the house as they're living in it day to day. And it just is kind of like a nice hug every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, too, for as the interiors person, it's interesting when there is a client with a new build that they sometimes don't understand that they need to make all of their interior decisions before the slab gets poured. And then we sit back and wait. And that can be, you know, we're all excited and we're really emotionally involved with the client on the interior side. And we're talking about drawer pulls and where the microwave's going to sit. And then 1 year later, after they've found the builder and, you know, they've poured the slab and the framing's up and they're about to put in sheetrock, we get called back. So that's always a surprise for folks.
Yeah, we definitely still need Amity's involvement through tile layouts. And even though we have drawings indicating it, you just won't believe how many tile setters still don't necessarily look at the drawing and they do it wrong. So it's always great to have Amity out to show them what the pattern's going to be, and also making sure the right grout colors are selected and helping you through that whole process.
It can be tedious, so it's definitely important to have some support on your team for little moments like that all the way through. But as far as the emotional impact, I think renovations and additions can be, especially in a house where people have lived for a long time, that can come up just because you're changing the energy of the space, you're changing the views, so it can be really, really impactful. And then with new builds, you know, it's that learning about the lot and the limitations. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, that's true. That happens too. You'll discover easements across the property, so we can't build in this one area you thought you could, and some 50-inch diameter tree that's there, and we have to follow the city rules on how close we can build to it. Floodplains, erosion control, all kinds of boring stuff that is a whole bunch of ugh to us architects that we have to deal with through the city, but we know how to do it.
So. Impervious cover, critical root zones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's emotional for people to learn the limitations sometimes of their space. But then it's our job to turn that negative into a positive and help them understand how it can be great and it can be wonderful.
Yeah, and talking about when you do a renovation addition, I had one where it had been flooded, and then it gave us the opportunity. It was actually the original part of the structure was built in the late 1800s, and then it had been added onto and been in the family for a couple generations. So we ended up kind of taking it back down to the foundation, and the neighbors sent them pictures. They were out of town, and it just flipped them upside down. They were so upset. They said, "Oh my God, what have we done?"
Oh no.
So I had to explain, "I know, don't worry. The house is still going to, we're still going to have all that integrity. The builder has saved all of the, you know, wood. We saved a bunch of the wood interior paneling to put back." And so we had, yeah. So it can be really emotional just even at that early stage of construction.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that's the important thing, is putting that team together so you can ride that wave of emotion and then get to the place where you're happy and you can celebrate.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.